Marduk. Marduk, very important god. He's the eldest son to Enki. Enki, of course, being the wisest and eldest of the gods on Earth. Marduk was a Sumerian name, son of the Pure Mount. Bel the Younger was a Babylonian name, where Marduk was taking the name Bel, which was being used by Enlil. As he's usurping Enlil's power, he usurps his name, and he's now Bel the Younger, and then Enlil Bel the Older. There are other names for him, as you can see listed under the overview of Marduk. You should pull that up and go through it. It'll definitely give you a quick overview of who he is. Many names for him, like I said, and when ancient Egypt came around, his name was Ra, the creator. He's, you know, falcon-headed sun god. And then there was Amon-Ra, which is in the newer Egyptian, the hidden one. So what we're talking here is absent Ra. He's absent because he's being punished and exiled. Anyway, we'll get to that. Marduk was born on planet Nibiru. I believe the rest of that generation was born on Earth. Ninurta was born on Earth, I believe, but he could have been born on Nibiru. All the rest, Ninurta's children, Marduk's children, and brothers and so forth, they're born on Earth. Like I said, he's the eldest son and therefore the heir to Enki and his mother, Damkina. Damkina is Enki's official wife back on Nibiru. That name has also been given in a text or two to Ninhursag, his one true love, his sister. Anyway, Marduk is the eldest son and heir, and when you go to Egypt, the god Ptah. Ptah is Enki. Ra is Enki's son. Marduk, Ra, married Sarpanet, his half-sister wife. Again, keeping the bloodline double seed available for kinship law of succession, the double seed. So Ra's symbol is the sun disk or wing globe. His animal symbol is the ram. His constellation is Aries. These are all related, so if you hear of them, that's all being related to Ra. Marduk had several residences. They all had their main residence, and then they would have visiting residences in other city-states. Anyway, Marduk's temple in Babylon, which is the main one, is in Tin Maninki or something like that. I can't pronounce these very well. But it means Temple of the Foundation of Heaven and Earth. That's the ziggurat in Babylon. That's where he lived, in the ziggurat. From that ziggurat, there would be a city down below, and the city would be run by the king. The king would be a giant mixed breed. When the sons of God came down, had sex with the daughters of man, had children by them, And those mixed breed children became the heroes of old men of renown, the first kings. And some of these mixed breed kings show up in Babylon. So these giant mixed breed kings just keep coming for a while, and making Enlil angry, but it's happening. So in Babylon, you have the main ziggurat. Then you have other places for Marduk. Ezagil, that's also, that's a temple that rises its head. That is the temple of Marduk that's referred to in the texts. Let's see, there are others, the shrine, the Marduk, temple of the Lord of Lands, to Bel, you know, Bel the Younger. Marduk claimed he, not Enlil's son, Ninurta, he being Enki's son, should inherit command of Earth's colony. As this authority is distributed, the king, Anu, is the king of all the Anunnaki on planet Nibiru. Anu, God the Father, sends his sons and a couple daughters to colonize the Earth and pick up some gold and whatever else they want. So that created a lot of work. What they had done, the plan was to mine the gold with 300 helpers under Enki in South Africa, smelt the gold down by 300 that were stationed in the Garden of Eden. When it's down, lesser weight, pure gold, it can now be space trucked to Mars. Marduk was running this place on Mars for quite a while, probably built what's there. But anyway, Mars was a way station for the gold, and there'd be warehouses there and landing and liftoff and all of, you know, place to stay. All of these things were in place long, long ago. So Marduk is in charge of setting up the way station. And the gold is coming then to Mars. It's stored there until their planet Nibiru comes through on its orbit. And when it enters our solar system, its orbit goes just on the outside of the asteroid belt, right by the asteroid belt, and when it comes through. And it's very simple to blast off Mars versus Earth, less gravity, and much shorter distance to travel. So they set the way station up on Mars under Marduk, and the shipments of gold were going to planet Nibiru every time it orbited. And that would be every 3,600 years. So imagine how long they've been here. So anyway, as they dumped the gold back on their planet, of course they're picking up supplies and whatever they need back on Earth's colony. Sometimes it's equipment, sometimes it might be food. They brought sheep to Earth, they brought seeds to Earth. Many things from their planet they brought to Earth and got it established here. Earth also had many, many ways to survive. They had food growing on trees, for goodness sakes. Anyway, Earth colony was great for them. It had the gold, it had good air, it had good sweet water. Nibiru is a watery planet, no problem with the waters on Earth, and so on and so forth. Anyway, Marduk, while in Babylon, he claims he usurps or attempts to supremacy on Earth colony, declares himself as the one god. He did so by what they call usurping the 50 names, representing the rule ranking number of Enlil is 50. When you see the assembly gods, you'll see Enlil's number is 50. Marduk takes the 50 names and his ruling number, which was 50. He allowed the other gods to dwell within their own private temples inside the walls. And Marduk would assume all responsibilities previously held by Enlil and any of Enlil's family. Authority passed from many deities to one deity. And you start to think of the one god, and that is Marduk. There's a text that talks about this. Enlil's power and responsibilities were changed to be known as, and there's a list of it, Marduk's lord and council, Ninurta's area of responsibility, usurped by Marduk. Ninurta's was changed to be known as Marduk of the Whole. Ninurta was in charge of farming in the very beginning. Nurgle's was changed to be known as Marduk of the Attack. Nurgle, of course, attacked Marduk. Zababa's were changed, that's a son of Enlil, to be known as Marduk of the Combat. He's a warrior. All these are sons to Enlil. Nabu, a son to Marduk, were changed to be known as Marduk of Numbers and Counting, because Nabu was a scribe. Sin, a son to Enlil, his were changed to be known as Marduk the Illuminator of the Night. That's because Sin was the moon god. Shamish, Sin's son, Enlil's grandson, was usurped by Marduk. It changed to be known as Marduk of Justice. Shamish established the Wheel of Justice, handed down laws. Now Marduk usurps that power from Shamish. So he claims. Adad's, all his realm of responsibility, was changed to be known as Marduk of Rains. Well, Adad was the thunder god, the Viking god Thor, whatever. He was the one who brings the thunder, and of course he's a warrior god. Ares, as I said, the ram, was used as Marduk's symbol in Egypt and also used in his constellation. Okay, let's see. He was the first to rule over Egypt. Egypt was advanced, like Babylon was advanced. Marduk was advancing earthlings, perhaps too fast for Enlil. Either way, you had this superior, highly advanced city, Babylon. And after it's wiped out, Marduk's got his highly advanced civilization, Egypt. So each time he's bringing man to more and more knowledge, more and more advancements. And maybe his loyal earthlings are advancing a little bit faster than Enlil's earthlings. You see the problem? And Enlil, being the Earth colony commander, is not too happy with Marduk claiming all of his authority. So here we have a real problem. Marduk's sons were Osiris or Ashur. Asshur is found in the Assyrian text. And he was the eldest son to Marduk, and a spouse of Sarpanitz, of course. Osiris, or Asshur, married Isis. And, you know, Isis had the miracle son of Osiris, who named Horus. All of these gods fall under the family of Marduk, and you're finding Marduk's brother, Ningesida, or Thoth, assisting all along. Thoth assists in the birth of Horus and many other things, and the resurrection of Osiris, many things. Is Thoth, the DNA god, the god of knowledge, assisting his older brother Marduk in Egypt. Marduk had a son, Seth. He killed his brother, Asher, or Osiris, and was exiled for it. Marduk has a third son, Nabu, who is a scribe, but he's also a warrior who assists his father in his battles against Enlil's descendants. So, as I said, Marduk would be the grandfather to Horus. His son Seth blinds Horus in a battle where Horus avenges his father's death because his uncle Horus, Seth, killed his father, Horus. Osiris loses an eye. So the all-seeing eye of Osiris, that's where it comes from. Okay, let's see here. A lot of help from Ningesida. In Marduk's absence, while Egypt was under Amon-Ra, Ningesida / Thoth became very, very popular in Marduk, his older brother's absence. And the god of knowledge started bringing them forth that his brother was developing a higher consciousness, a higher development of society with their people in Egypt. Anyway, when Marduk gets back from being exiled, he's always in trouble. When his coup doesn't work, he's imprisoned in exile. When he finally gets out and comes back to Egypt, he sees his brother Thoth, or Ningesida, is too popular. So this is a threat to him. So he says, hey, brother, you got to get out. So Thoth says, okay, I'll start my own civilization. And the brother says, no problem, but you just got to go far away. So what he did was he gathered up some Africans, black Africans, and flew them over to the Yucatan. And for the first time, the Yucatan meets Earthlings. And that civilization under the, if you chart it out, the first civilization in South America is the Olmecs. There's blacks brought from Africa, and with them they would bring like vases of elephants in the shape of elephants. Very strange. There are no elephants in South America. Evidence that they were brought from Africa, just by looking at them, you see that. And also evidence that they didn't walk across from Africa to South America, nor could they go by ship. They were brought by Ningesida. Just like Ningesida started civilization in the Yucatan, Ningesida possibly is responsible for the removal of the Mayans after he establishes them. So first were the Olmecs, then the Mayans, and then, of course, the Aztecs, Incas, and so on. Okay? All under Nengiszeta. He's always the main god in every one of those civilizations. Okay, so now there's great separation between the two brothers. Marduk's happy, he's sitting in Egypt. His brother's happy, he's in the Yucatan, establishing many civilizations and building many of these pyramid ziggurats. So that kind of gives you an idea of Marduk, his experience on Mars, his experience developing civilizations on Earth. He felt his father Enki was the eldest son to the king. Therefore, kingship should fall through Enki. But instead, by the Anunnaki law of the double seed, Enki is born of a concubine. He can't be king, as heir to the king. So his younger brother Enlil, born of Anu and Anu's official sister wife, a double seed son, Enlil is born and becomes the official heir to the throne of King Anu. So Marduk feels that the heir to the throne is under Enlil, it should be under Enki, his father, and there's always this rub going on between Marduk and Ninlil's family. Okay, let's take a look at the page in some of these slideshows. The first, by the way, on the slideshows, if you hit refresh, just refresh your computer, and the slideshows will restart. So the first slideshow is just showing you who Marduk is in some of these artifacts. These artifacts are thousands of years old. Most of these things are stone shaped into a small cylinder, and then a scene, a historical scene, is reverse carved onto this cylinder, and then the cylinder is rolled on wet clay, and the imprint of the scene is left in the wet clay. You take the wet clay, you fire it very hot, like hotter than we do, and that wet clay turns basically to rock. And those artifacts lasted thousands and thousands of years. And they were discovered, as you can tell, through the pages of the gods here and on my front page, that these artifacts were discovered in the dirt. They're discovered in buried libraries. Every major city that was in ancient Mesopotamia had a ziggurat that started the civilization around it. The earthlings came around it. The king took care of the needs of the earthlings, and he was always a mixed breed, hero of old, men of renown, son to one of the gods who came down. And then the high priest, who would also be a giant mixed breed, and the same thing, an earthling mother or father, and a god or goddess, other parent. So they would be demigods, they would be mixed breeds. And these historical scenes are safe forever on these small cylinder, rock cylinders, with the reverse seeing. So you got the negative carved on the cylinder, and the positive image is rolled on the clay, and you can send that copy machine to all the city states. Here's what happened. Here's the scene. Maybe a text would go with it, and a copy would go to all the city states. So Mesopotamia knew Marduk did this, or Enlil did that. And it's all, you see it in the text. So the text of the historical documents, and these are the historical artifacts. There's just no denying these things. So if we start Marduk at the beginning, you're going to see, for instance, 1A, artifact 1A under Marduk. You see a winged Marduk. Well, wings simply mean that they have the ability of flight. That doesn't mean that they just simply jump in the air like Superman and fly. No, it means that they're pilots. Our pilots, all pilots, have earned their wings, or they're not officially a pilot. Well, that custom goes back to these gods in Mesopotamia. Here you're witnessing it firsthand on cylinder reverse carved 1A under Marduk. I think it's the very first artifact you see when you refresh. And then you see other of these seals. They've got another name for it, but you see these cylinders, reverse carved. By the way, man could not do that. Maybe he learned later, but man could not reverse carve scenes. He couldn't imagine such a thing, much less actually do all this perfectly round cylinders and so on. And come up with the idea of a printing press that lasts for thousands of years. Man did not come up with that. So as the slideshow goes by, you're seeing individual artifact images of Marduk. Okay? And they'll scroll by. If you hit the arrow, you can go scroll faster. There's a fast forward arrow and a rewind arrow. You put your cursor on the picture or the arrow, and you'll stop the slideshow from scrolling by. So if you want to study an artifact, just put your cursor on the artifact or the other artifact. If you put it on the artifact, a brief description will pop up. If that description's in your way, put your cursor on the other artifact. Now you can study the one artifact that you wanted to without the pop-up. So anyway, as it scrolls through there, you'll see Marduk, and then Marduk, and then sometimes Marduk with his animal symbol. And you'll see Marduk with Nibiru symbols, but we'll get into that. Marduk with his staff of royalty, trying to depict him as a supreme god on earth. You'll see Marduk with the plus sign. The plus sign, of course, is the symbol of their planet, Nibiru, the planet that crosses by our orbits, our solar system. The planet that crosses through our solar system, symbolized by that plus sign. Okay, and you'll see that on Marduk. But a very interesting artifact is 3A. If you can scroll through until you find that one. It's an image, it's a seal, and on that is Marduk and a rocket, which is another symbol of Marduk, but this is a tall rocket on a platform ready for blast off, and on the other side of the rocket is his wife, Sarpanet. So one of the things that Marduk did that was so taboo is he was building his own landing port, launch and landing. All of launch and landings had to go be approved by Enlil and then established through Utu, who his area of responsibility were the launch and landing sites. He would carve the mountains so that they had them, and then he would be in charge of who's coming and going. Under Enlil, of course, his grandfather. Well, here Marduk in Babylon is trying to build his own launch and landing ports. And this really upsets Enlil. I mean, everything Marduk does is just driving Enlil insane, mad. And Enlil's descendants are going, let's get him, let's get him. So cousin fights cousin. But anyway, in this situation, you're looking at Marduk with a rocket. And again, we're talking about highly advanced aliens who came to Earth Colony and brought with them their knowledge. Primitive man is just looking at this and trying to make things to remember them. So they make artifacts, they draw things on cliffs, all kinds of things, so the scene would be remembered. Anyway, I find that to be a very interesting artifact, and I'll tell you about the war later. So as you scroll through, another interesting artifact, for instance, is 3C, which followed the last one I was talking about. 3C, the first one is Marduk holding his staff of authority, or I'm sure that's the wrong word, but you can see he's holding what kings hold, their staff of authority. And next is he's got his hand on the shoulder of his spouse, Sarpanut. And next to her is his younger brother, Ningasita. And seated with the water pouring out of him is Enki. So there you have Father Enki, eldest son Marduk, and next son Ningasita. Very important gods if you're looking at Enki's side of the family. Here they are, the most important. Okay, let's see. And then there are artifacts of Marduk with his animal symbol, Marduk with his authority symbols, Marduk with other gods. You just look at them and you'll see it. Amazing. These are thousands of years old that survived. Some of them are like in perfect condition. You'll see, for instance, artifact 4G. His son Nabu, the scribe, he's holding the tablet right there in his hand. And, you know, the wet tablet with a stylus, you now have the first written language on Earth. Okay, and there you're going to see a lot of different situations with Marduk and with his father and what have you. You may even see Marduk and his flying saucer. A saucer with wings. The wings, of course, only means that it flies. That saucer does not have wings. Neither did Marduk. Okay, as we scroll through this, you'll see the descriptions below it, and if you want to study them, you can. Okay, the next slideshow is Marduk hovering. He's in his sky disk, and he's usually hovering over a mixed-breed king. But here you start seeing artifact after artifact of Marduk flying in the sky. this is not common knowledge. This is hidden knowledge and has been hidden from us since 300 BC. I don't know. The last I can figure is somewhere after Alexander the Great, after the Persia was established and the Persian kings dynasty was established, following, I don't know, three or four kings down there, and then they seem to have disappeared. Where did they go? Well, some might have gone back to their planet. Some probably went to the dark side of the moon or Mars. Some of them are in our oceans. Some of them are inside our mountains. They're everywhere that man does not see. They still have their ability to watch everything on Earth and hear everything on Earth. God knows all, sees all. Or the eyes, all-knowing, seeing eye of horse. Any way you want to look at it, go. God knows all, sees all. Today we try to do that through satellites. They did it the same way back then, only their technology is far, far above ours. So you're looking at Marnik in the sky. Sometimes Marnik is in the middle of battle in the sky, battling usually Ninurta. So again, Marnik in his sky disk, Marnik in his wing disk, Marnik with kings, Marnik fighting other gods, Marnik with his sons. You're looking at Marnik. And he's hovering. These are sky battles. These are just simply flights. Or is it the Air Force protecting his king, his semi-god descendants of gods, kings? They were made kings or high priests. Sometimes, if they had too many of them, they might be the main generals, such as in the case of Alexander the Great. After he dies young, his five main generals split up his empire. And the one that started Persia, his name was Cyrus the Great. That's the beginning of Persia. Cyrus the Great and his descendants were all protected by Ashur, Marnik's son. Okay, so after you see Marnik in flight, come some Marnik texts. And the overview, look at it. I kind of went over it with you already. Then there's, if you want to quick tell me about Marnik from the text, just go simply to his quotes. There's no... they may not be in chronological order. They're just simply quotes, and you figure out what's what from the quote, or you go read the texts. Now, there is an example, a photograph of these texts and these artifacts being discovered, these round cylinders. They're all being discovered in the dirt because these ancient cities were buried. Unbelievable. And all this knowledge has been hidden. And when this knowledge was rediscovered, especially by the Knights Templar in about 1190, as they went under Solomon's temple looking for the secret hiding places, they discovered things like these tablets that showed them that there are aliens who came to Earth, and much more it shows them. Many artifacts, thousands of them. So they learn about these aliens, and they more or less have been in power ever since. The picture on the right, it gives you an idea of a clay tablet stone, fired hot to be stone, and those are texts. And these texts are organized like a library. It's amazing. Those are big, heavy texts that last thousands of years. Thank God. This is our original history. So the first one you'll see is Marduk's ordeal. This is where Marduk loses an attempt to usurp supremacy, and he becomes imprisoned. It's worth reading. The green must reads, that's what it means. If it's a one star, it's got some information in there. If it's a two star, it's got more information. If it's three, it's probably loaded with information, and it's a must read. So three stars for sure. If you've got more time, read the two and one stars. Then if you like, read them all. I've gone through them dozens of times. Okay. Next one is the scorched earth policy. And there's where earthlings learn about war and about weapons. So now you got one cousin group angry as hell at the other cousin group because Marduk's trying to steal supremacy from Enlil and his descendants. This is not good. So there are many artifacts of these wars, many wars come about between these two gods, okay? And what you find out here is eventually, through these texts, these wars get very, very dangerous and turn nuclear. But as you go through them, you'll see Marduk in different poses, and you'll see animals as another god. It's just a symbol, animal symbol. You'll see other animal symbols, like Marduk's animal symbol, Mushashu. This is alien technology that man did not understand. Anyway, artifact after artifact, you see battle scenes. A particularly interesting artifact is number 22 under Cousin Gods versus Cousin Gods. This artifact shows a battle scene where one god is foot upon another who is lying on the ground. Normally, that is an artifact, meaning the god Utu is killing another earthling or a disloyal king. But a lot of these things happen. My earthlings against your earthlings. Man begins to learn to war against man. King against king, city-state against city-state, empire against empire, and so on, so on, and so forth. But anyway, on Artifact 22, you see Utu in battle, then you see someone there and someone on the medical table there, and he's getting x-rayed. He's injured, and you can see the rays go through him. He's being x-rayed. This technology, they definitely brought their medical technology to help them while they're on this planet. And eventually that medical technology was, or techniques, were handed down to the earthlings. But these are the gods who were, there were doctors, there were medical scientists, all mostly female descendants of the king who came down, these descendants. Again, you'll see man or god against god, and gods flying in the sky, gods with weapons, gods with animals attacking their animal symbols, weapons in hand. And, you know, Marduk tries and tries and tries. Very interesting is artifact number one. And you can see it in color, artifact number 1A. This is the Sinai. And what you can see is at the bottom of the Sinai is scorched earth. That scorched earth is from a nuclear attack from Enlil's descendants against Marduk and his descendants because of the coup Marduk is attempting. So 7 nuclear missiles were used against Marduk and his family. So there's cousin versus cousin. Now, God versus beast. The beast is just a symbol of one of the gods. And you'll see battle scenes and battle scenes and battle scenes. Let's get to the text. The very first text under Marduk, eldest son to Enki, texts. Now, you've seen Marduk in the slideshows. Let's look at a text. The very first one is Era and Isham. I can't tell you how important it is for you to read that text. It's a triple star. The next one is the 7 evil spirits, 7 nuclear missiles. I could not begin to tell you how important that one is to read, to understand. We have alien technology manipulating man to God's will, whichever God you happen to be loyal to, or family of gods. And then the next text is the lament for Urim, which is Ur. Ur is the city where Abraham was raised. Anyway, it is the city state under the god Nanner, who is Enlil's son. So here we have the nuclear wars, and then all of a sudden we're so sorry the nuclear fallout is falling upon Ur. This is a must read. You're looking at the beginning of the end to Mesopotamian civilization and all the city-states right here. Gods versus gods. And now there's nuclear fallout poisoning every one of these places. Time to move. And the gods did. Anyway, staying in Mesopotamia, there's one that the exploits of Ninurta. It's a double star. And it's talking about Ninurta and Marduk. And then you run into other things about his temple and hymns. And we get into creation stories. These are a little hard to understand, so I assist all through the text to give you an idea what they're talking about so you can understand and make it make sense. And if you want to know how Earth is Earth and the asteroid belt is the asteroid belt, and by the way, if you took a globe, turned it upside down, you see we're missing half of Earth. All that landmass is missing, and it filled with all that water. So, and then because all that landmass was missing, continental drift began. And the land plates started breaking and drifting, and next thing you know, you have the continents. It was all together. Now it's all broken in the continents, and a huge mass of Earth is missing. What happens is described right here in Enuma Elish. You take a look at the asteroid belt, it has the exact makeup as Earth. It's the other half of Earth. Very interesting read, Enuma Elish. Another very interesting read is Advice to a Prince, 3 stars, 2 stars, 1 stars. Under Marduk, there are many here worth reading. A must read, I call it. Okay, so you keep going down, scrolling down, and you run into a biblical quote. It says, when man began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, who came down, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. They had no women. There's 900 Anunnaki who came to Earth colony, 300 down South Africa in the mines, 300 in the Garden of Eden, 300 on Mars and trekking. And what you're talking about, the only women on Earth colony are the descendants of the king, who have positions of authority and who are always married to one of the gods who came down, or a descendant born on earth. Gods marry gods. Only one that I know of, Ninsun, is makes a difference. And then, of course, Inanna married every king there is, gaining her the title of goddess of love. But under Marduk, you see Genesis quotes. Here's another one. The Nephilim, which are the mixed breed giants, the first kings, were on earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons, plural, sons of God, went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. They were the first kings, the ones that lived 1,000 years, you know, like Methuselah in the Bible. These are the mixed breeds that were tall, bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and lived much longer than earthlings. So you got an earthling around 4 or 5 feet. You've got the mixed breed demigod around 10 feet. And you got the alien god that came down, and he's around 14 feet. And if you ever see an artifact that has all three of them on it, you'll see what I'm talking about. So as you go through the slideshow, Marduk with giant semi-divine kings, I don't know, shall we refresh and start at the beginning? And I'll give you a quick idea. Let's refresh the page under Marduk with giant semi-divine kings. It starts off, you're looking at number 6A, Babylonian high priest, which is a giant mixed breed, and Marduk. Now, the temple was run by the high priest, who is the butler to the god, alien god, who lives in that temple. High priest is nothing more than a butler to the god. What would you like to eat today? Your clothes, what kind of clothes you want made? What this, what this, what that? And he's running this huge ziggurat, this huge pyramid that this giant god lives in. He's very powerful, very close to God, high priest. So the king is the go-between, the God and the earthlings. And he's given the laws and he's enforcing this and that, given direction, developing the city-state. The high priest is taking his directions also from the God, and he's establishing the customs and the holidays and feasts and so forth in celebration of the God. So he's always bringing God before you because he is the go-between, and the king is bringing God's law before you as the go-between. Interesting. 6B, you'll see another one, and of course the round cylinder reverse carved in the clay artifact, And you could make 100 easy of those artifacts, same artifact, and send it to 100 city states, and you've got a scene. And somewhere was a description of this scene. It's lost. And as you go through here, you see the god Marduk and the small giant kings. And sometimes you'll find even a smaller earthling in the same artifact. So as I suggest you look at these. I know they're confusing, but if you just simply look, you'll see gods, you'll see animals, which are symbols. There's the god, there's the symbol of the god, there's the offspring of the god. All this I try to give to you on their page. So as you go through Marduk with giant kings and or high priests, and look at that slideshow, read the brief descriptions that pop up. Next is Marduk with the giant semi-divine offspring texts. And here's one from Hammurabi to Marduk. Hammurabi, the very famous Babylonian king. Hammurabi, being the king, brought the laws of Hammurabi given to him by Utu, the guy who brings the laws, who is from Enlil's side of the family. Strangely enough, Utu gives Hammurabi the laws, and Marduk, of course, assumes Hammurabi is loyal to. Strange. But each of these giants had their own realm of responsibilities. And each king, as time goes by, I try to give you the timeline too. So here you've got Hammurabi, and I'm telling you he's a giant semi-divine mixed breed descendant. And he was made king and ruled from this period to this period, according to our scholars today. Ahem to Marduk for the next king. Next king with a single, triple star. Read it. The inscription on the black obelisk of Shalmaneser the Third. It's a triple star. I can't emphasize enough. That's why I did it. It's worth reading if you have the time. And as you scroll down, you'll see some one stars from each of these kings. These are Babylonian kings. And what they had to say about the gods. And when you get to Nabopolassar, the king, you'll see some more must reads. And continue to scroll, and then, you know, if you want to, you can read them all like I do, or just read the ones highlighted in green. Let's see here. The next slideshow is Marduk's animal symbol, Mushushu, which is really alien technology. And you go through there and you see symbols of the gods. That's what you're looking at, symbols. And out of these symbols, many things are in existence today. Same symbols. The next slideshow is Marduk's symbol of rocket ship. By the way, as Marduk's building the Tower of Babel for his launch and landing pad, it was Enlil who came in and confused the languages. All of a sudden, the city-states, the whole place in Mesopotamia, is speaking the same language. But because Marduk's trying to get his build this Tower of Babel, Enlil changes everybody's language, and now you've got mass confusion, which screws up the ability to have that construction go on. You can't communicate. And then, of course, other things were done to stop Marduk. But here is Marduk with kings. And Marduk's symbol, a rocket, because that's him claiming supremacy. Okay, that gives you Marduk. And if there's more you'd like to know, I refer you to Sitchin's books. But what I'm showing you here, I'm sure you're not going to find it organized and as much anywhere else. I really appreciate you coming to the website. And if you spent some time here to get a close look at Marduk, good for you. That makes me very proud and happy. Thank you again, and please come back.